This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Welcome to this workshop called Lesson Components for Teaching. You see a little description up here, and if that doesn't match what you were expecting, this is the time that it's totally fine for you to stand up and exit. If you're like, wow, that's not what I expected. But hopefully your tool bag keeps you wondering enough, right? You and me. It seems like everything that I've done in life so far has had to do with teaching. It's something that I really enjoy. It's close to my heart. And just like to share a couple things that are helpful to me as I think about planning a lesson and connecting with students. So our goal today is to teach more effectively by using visual, auditory, and kinesthetic learning components. There's more we could look at. These are three of my favorite, three of the easy ones to understand. And we just want to use this objective kind of as a premise, as the basis for what we do today. Many of you raise your hands saying you have taught or are teaching, and it's good to know that I'm among friends, among colleagues who enjoy the classroom. A picture of my family. I have five children, and my wife and I love the opportunity to raise them and are excited about what God has in future for us as a family. Maybe this is a question you've asked, and it's something that you've been asked recently, and maybe that's why you're here, or maybe you remember this day. And you've learned a few things since then. When I was teaching in my second year full-time, which was in Grenada, there was a missionary pastor. He was a Presbyterian pastor who was in Grenada for the purpose of offering college courses as a way of training and discipleship. And Olive Branch sent a number of our teachers to participate in a course that he taught, The Seven Laws of the Learner. And this textbook, if there's one book that has helped me or challenged me or motivated me or taught me anything about teaching, it's this book by Dr. Bruce Wilkinson. Dr. Bruce Wilkinson was a student of Howard Hendricks, who wrote The Seven Laws of the Teacher. And Dr. Wilkinson then wrote The Seven Laws of the Learner, a book that's about the three times the size of the laws of the teacher, and a book that's connected with me and has meant a lot to me. So if you haven't ever read this book or studied it, I would encourage you to consider it, and you're welcome to look at it later. To begin with today, I would like to think about the question, though, why do we teach? Why is it that we would even spend any time trying to do it well and hone the craft? So for a foundation from Scripture today, I would like to look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9. Those verses read like this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Today, as we think about hearing, seeing, and doing, or visual, auditory, and kinesthetic, hands-on learning, I think we see evidences of these right here in Deuteronomy, where God gave instruction to the Israelites how to effectively teach. So first of all, we see this idea of hearing as they're told to listen. Hear, Israel. The Lord is one Lord. Children were to hear what their parents were teaching them. That's evident in this passage. We also see that there were to be visual evidences of this learning. It was to be written on the doorposts. They also had this practice of you may have heard of a phylactery. It's actually what's on the gentleman's head right here, a little leather pouch containing portions of Scripture. So they would take this passage literally and say, oh, we're supposed to bind it as frontlets between our eyes and bind it on our arm. And so you would see phylacteries here on the left arm. By the way, anybody know why it's on the left arm and not the right arm? You use your right arm? That's a good guess, but I don't think that's why it's on the left arm.
Closer to his heart?
Closer to your heart, right? So they were to get into your heart. And so right here next to your heart was scripture, and right here is frontlets between your eyes, a way to practice literally this verse. One of the portions of scripture often contained in the phylactery was Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Lord our God is one Lord. And so we see this being taught by hearing, by seeing, and also by doing. It says when you walk, when you sit, when you stand, when you lie down, these were all to be times of teaching. Children were to imitate their parents. They were to mimic what they saw in their parents. And all this was to be done diligently. The word diligently in verse 7 means to point or to intensely pierce. And so if we teach in very pointed, piercing ways, the idea is that it gets inside. That reminds me of Hebrews 4:12, right? The word of the Lord is quick, sharp, powerful than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the hearts. And so God's word getting deep within the hearts of those we teach is something that's pretty important. Important to God, and I think important to us. And to conclude all that, why do we have to be diligent about that? Well, I think the answer is in verse 4. It says in that first verse that there is one Lord. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How will they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? If there's only one God, if there's only one way to salvation, guess what? It would be really important that everybody figures out and knows what that is, right? And as a Christian, that's what we're called to teach. There is only one God. Therefore, let's do it well, because if the only answer isn't something that goes out, then people will be left needing to make choices without enough of information to do so. And so the message you carry as a Christian teacher, the foundational message is that there is only one Lord. And if there's only one, then everybody needs to know who he is. That's important. And that's, I think that needs to drive whatever lesson you teach. Sunday school, VBS, the classroom, there's only one Lord. We devote everything about us to this God, so we must understand him. We must teach others to understand him. Well, let's think a little bit about a couple of things that you can pay attention to as you prepare a lesson and as you teach. And today, we want to think of these three categories, lesson components, a visual, auditory, and kinesthetic approach to learning. And this workshop is designed to be interactive. I want you to participate. So this is where you take out your nail bag and you put your nail bag on. And you may need to stand up to do that so that it can get on there. But if you can get your nail bag on. There's a couple things inside that we're going to need to help you, hopefully to drive home and to pierce deeply within you this impression that there are things we can do as we prepare our lessons to make them effective. All right, so if your nail bag's on, you should find in there a couple things. You should find a pair of glasses. So you can go ahead, take your glasses out. These represent the visual learning that we need to do. All right? And I would just say, yeah, go ahead, put them on. There will be students. You can't get them to stay on. You know what? There might be a bigger pair here.
I like the nose. Thanks, fine.
Actually, you might give him that large pair right there. If he can't keep these on, that'll be much better for him. So,
my wife.
Yeah. So there will be students in your class that learn best by what they see, not by what they hear you say. And we could get fancy by doing some assessments and trying to determine, do you learn best by what you see, by what you hear, by what you read, by what you do. But we're not going to do assessments. We're just going to have fun with some of the activities. All right, so first of all, as we think about visual learning, there's a lot that can be gained through sight. I'm going to show you a picture here. And the picture is of my sister, my second son, Ryan. Her name is D'Amber. This is Ryan. And this is Brent. And we were visiting the Apple Harvest Festival close to Gettysburg the other year. And I want you to take 1 minute and look at that picture. And then I'm going to ask some questions to see how much you learned in 1 minute. Go. You have 1 minute to look at the picture. Now, some of your glasses are pretty shaded, so if you need to remove them to look, that's okay, but put them back on then again. Don't want you to forget what we're focusing on here. All right, time's up. Okay, I've got a quiz for you. It is 20 questions long. Let's see how you do. Try and keep track of how many you get correct, all right? Here we go. And you know what? I'm just going to have you call these answers out today. All right? We won't take time to write answers and then grade it at the end. You just call the answers out if you know the answer. All right? Here we go. How many children were in the picture?
Three.
Three. All right. What was on the pallet in the middle of the photo?
Large pumpkin.
What color sweatshirt did my sister have on?
Blue.
Blue or aqua. If you are technical. What was my younger son Ryan holding in his hand? It was a balloon. It was my younger son. A balloon. And was it in his right hand or left hand?
Left.
Left. What color was it?
Blue.
All right. It was blue. What was my older son holding in his hand?
Kenya.
Yes, there's the caramel apple. Which hand?
Left.
Right.
Left. Left hand. What color sweatshirt did my younger son Ryan have on? What word was written on it?
Legend.
Legend. What color are my older son Brent's shoestrings?
Yellow. Or orange, yellowish.
Orange, yellowish. Okay, we'll go with that. The contrast here is a little, I need to adjust it. Orange. What kind of flower was sitting behind my sister?
Yellow.
It was, what type of flower? It was a mum. And what color was it?
Yellow.
All right, yellow. There was a white trailer in the center top of the photo. What was written on the side of the white trailer? Couldn't read it. Yeah, it looked kind of that way. It's actually musical eclipse. What was the make of the pickup in the top right-hand corner?
Oh, Ford.
Ford. What color was it?
Red.
What color is the tape that is surrounding the pumpkin display?
Yellow.
What type of weather were we experiencing that day?
Rainy.
Cool, rainy, cloudy, perfect. What brand of tape was used to secure the white information sheets on the side of the pumpkin? Duct tape. What color was the duct tape? Gray, yeah. So about, now, how many of you say, you know what, I was real close to getting all those correct. Just, let me see some hands. All right, how many of you got at least half of them? Like, you think you got 10 right? 15? Some of you? How many of you said, that was really a pathetic learning activity. I didn't really know any of the questions. Anybody like that? Yeah. You know what? If you didn't really get many correct, it might be that you don't learn the best by what you see. All right? And you will have students like that in your classroom. All of your beautiful charts and pictures, they don't remember that. That's confusing, or it's overwhelming, or it's too busy, or it's too distracting. All right, so, and yet some of you, I taught you 15 facts in 1 minute. Okay, now that's pretty impressive, isn't it? Right? So, learn to think about that. What is the visual component to the lesson that you teach? Because there are some people that do not hear what you say, they learn what they see. So, think about the visual aspect to your lesson. Very important. Now, what are some applications to that? Well, if you want to teach visually, use a lot of object lessons. Maybe it's the cup of water that has food coloring that turns clear when you put, is it alcohol in it? Maybe it's the alcohol and water mixture that lets you set objects on fire without them really burning to illustrate the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace. You can do experiments. You can show pictures. You can do demonstrations. Other visual examples of visual learning, the game of memory. Some of you are excellent at memory. Some of you always lose. I'm sorry, but you may not be a strong visual learner. A visual learner is motivated by tangible rewards. You sit the Mountain Dew, the bag of candy, the prize in front of them. They're like, oh, I'm gonna get that. Motivated by something visual. There was a nurse in Grenada, where I lived. She said, yes, every time I go into the schools, because Grenada had school nurses that would go around and make sure all immunization records were up to date. So this nurse's job was to visit all the schools. And she said, children cry when I walk into a school. They learn to associate her and her starched white uniform with pain, because they knew when that lady shows up, children cry. They see children go out to the office and they hear the wails. And so when she walked into school, people started wailing already. There was a visual lesson that was attached. And I could never figure out why this lady looked so mean and grumpy every time I saw her walking the rows. But after she explained her job to me, I was like, if children cried every time I walked in the room, that would be tough to feel happy about life myself. But visual learning. All right, you can put your glasses back in and take out the ears. You should have a pair of ears. And go ahead, put them on. All right, put your ears on. We want to think about auditory learning next. What is it that you can think about when you teach a lesson that has to do with learning by what you hear or auditory learning? We're going to do another little activity of auditory learning here. I was at a middle school music festival a couple years ago, and the director used this song to kind of warm up the children before they sang, and it's a song that for some of my students stuck. Like 3 years later, I was in school one time and I said, hey, you guys remember that song? And they just sang it, and others, they couldn't remember. So I'm gonna teach it to you and see how quickly you can learn. So go ahead, stand up. It's always good to give your students a change of position about halfway through the class, too, because some people don't sit well too long. And you're welcome to get a change of position. This song was simply called Black Socks. Here's how it goes. I will sing it for you. And as soon as you begin to know it and can understand it, go ahead and join me. This is how it goes. Black socks, they never get dirty. The longer you wear them, the stronger they get. Sometimes I think I should wash them, but something inside me says, no, no, not yet, not yet, not yet. All right, join with me. Black socks, they never get dirty. The longer you wear them, the stronger they get. Sometimes I think I should wash them, but something inside me says, no, no, not yet, not yet, not yet. One more time, you're getting it. Black socks, they never get dirty. The longer you wear them, the stronger they get. Sometimes I think I should wash them, but something inside me says, no, no, not yet, not yet, not yet. Now this time when we sing it, I'm going to have this side of the room just continue the not yet. And you'll start the verse over, and we'll have a little round going. And then when you get to the not yet, you continue, and you start the verse over. You got it? So you're going to keep the not yet's going. Black socks, they never get dirty. The longer you wear them, the stronger they get. Sometimes I think I should wash them, but something inside me says, no, no, not yet, not yet, not yet, not yet. Black socks, they never get dirty. The longer you wear them, the stronger they get. Sometimes I think I should wash them, but something inside me says, no, no, not yet, not yet, not yet,
not yet.
Black socks,
Yes, they never get dirty. The longer you wear them, the stronger they get. Sometimes I think I should wash them, but something inside me says, no, no, not yet, not yet, not yet. Good job. Now, how many of you can sing that song by yourself? You may sit down. How many of you are like, that was good. Black Sox, say what? Are they not? So for some of you, you had it after the first or second time. Some of you are like, that was really pointless. Show me another picture. I can do the picture. I can't do songs. This is something that has really become interesting to us as a family. Our school has adopted a larger Bible memory program the last 2 years. Last year, everybody from grade 1 through 12 learned a Sermon on the Mount for Bible memory, and this year it's Romans 6, 7, and 8. And so I have one child that you just say it around the supper table two times, three times, he has it, and it's there. And then a daughter that needs kind of one-on-one review. Some learn by looking at it and reading it. Others sit in class and just pick it up by hearing it. And so everybody learns in such a varied amount of ways that you have to think broadly when you think about how you're going to pass information on. What are some of the key ways that we teach people in auditory ways? Well, one of my favorites is storytelling, right? That's auditory learning. You hear something. You learn something by through a story that's told. And your stories don't have to be complicated. They don't have to be difficult. They can be easy. For instance, this sock can tell us a story. You know, it stinks to be a sock. My job is so lowly. No pulling the wool over me on that one. I agree. Yeah, every time I think I got a leg up on the ladder of success, someone else joins me and socks it to me, and I'm no further ahead. Hey, well, I'm not socking it to you. I think we make quite a pair. Well, I hate being in the situation where I feel like trouble is afoot, but I'm just not sure where I'm going to land with it all. Well, sometimes you just have to put your foot down to keep from landing at the wrong place. Yeah, and those people that wish for the good old days when they were knee-high to a grasshopper, well, they don't realize how thinly stretched they were back in those days. Yeah, there are some situations you just love to worm your way out of. Now, that was pretty senseless, except none of you fell asleep during that, and I definitely had your attention. What is he doing with the green sock on his arm? And again, a story, while it captures the auditory learning, it can also, if told with an object, combine the auditory and the visual learning. You might not remember the story, but you're like, yeah, he had a green sock. Now, what was the green sock all about? Oh, telling stories, use objects. Another one of my stories that I enjoy. And Arlene, I had no idea you were going to be here today, but my story is about your son. This was a story that taught me one of the most profound lessons as a child. I was at camp with Arlene's son, Floyd, and we were up at the Ball Diamond, sitting somewhere on the bench, somewhere playing, and I was out at shortstop, and there was a boy at camp whose name was Myrtle. Now, Myrtle, by his name, attracted a bit of teasing. And probably you could finish it. Myrtle the
turtle.
See, you know it too. Poor guy. And camp wasn't kind to Myrtle. And many of the campers weren't kind to Myrtle. And we were playing softball. I remember being at shortstop, and all of a sudden the diamond was silenced by a loud smack across the cheek. And everybody looked over to the bench where Floyd had just received an open palm slap across his cheek. And everybody waited with bated breath. What is going to happen? Floyd was quite
capable in his youthful 14-year-old body of completely leveling Myrtle. Floyd could have easily done that. And I think some of us are waiting to see what type of retaliation Floyd would choose, because Myrtle had picked someone who could put him in his place. And I remember seeing Floyd sit there, sitting on his hands. The redness began creeping up through his neck, up through his cheeks, up through his face. He took a deep breath, exhaled, reached into his pocket, and pulled out one of those packs of Hubba Bubba bubble gum, like the really big, the kind with the really big pieces. And he peels the layer of plastic off and pulls out one of those big pieces and hands it over to Myrtle. And it's like the whole infield exhaled. There wasn't going to be a fight. No one else would get smacked. Floyd had brought peace to that very volatile situation. And it taught me, clearer than any sermon ever preached, clearer than any lesson explained in Bible class, it taught me the meaning of non-resistance. It taught me the meaning of how to turn the other cheek, of how to show peace in the midst of conflict. And Floyd didn't even say anything. It was a piece of bubble gum. And again, there's no handout on that. There's no quiz on that. There's no point on that. But it's a story that has lived with me for a long time. And again, I tell it to you as an example of the way we hear things, the way we can learn. Some of you are sitting with, most of you are sitting with rapt attention during that story, saying, well, what comes next? What's going to happen? How will the story conclude? And again, it's an example of the learning that we can do with our ears, auditory learning. One of my favorite Bible stories comes from John chapter 21. This is another story I love to tell. Do you remember Peter and the disciples after Jesus resurrected? They didn't see much of Jesus. Jesus had been out of the grave about a week, and they'd seen Jesus once, maybe twice in that time. And it's a confusing time. It's a difficult time. They thought Jesus was their hero to save them from the Romans, and it didn't really work out that way. And is Jesus coming? Is he going? What's their role? And Peter says, look, guys, I'm going to go fishing. That's a whole lot easier, predictable, safer. I'm much more familiar with it. Let's go fishing. And they all go back. They begin to fish. They're not catching anything. And in the early morning, as the mist is rising on the Sea of Galilee there, this form appears on the bank and calls out to them, put your net on the other side. And they throw it on the other side. And I don't know if they're doing a little bit of, hey, this feels familiar, because Jesus had given them advice on fishing prior to that too. They put their net on the other side, and instantly it's full of fish, and they begin to drag it in. And Peter takes another look at that lone figure in through the mist on the banks in that early morning time. He says, that's Jesus. He's back here with us. And he quickly gets to shore. And who remembers what was on shore when Peter got to the shore? What was on there? What was on the seashore?
Food.
A campfire. And there was fish on the fire. I think there was bread there too, it says. Bread and fish. And Peter comes in, and Jesus is like, do you love me? He's like, yeah. He's like, feed my sheep. And he says that three times. And finally, Peter is grieved about that conversation and Jesus' multiple questions. But you know what I think Jesus was doing there? He's saying, Peter, you went back to fishing, and you needed my help to catch all those fish. And when you got all those fish and had such a fabulous catch, you come back to shore, and look what I have on the campfire. Fish. Where do you think Jesus got those fish? Look, I've got bread to go with the fish. Surprise, surprise. Jesus has bread. It's like Jesus saying, Peter, you don't need your fishing. I am who I said I was. You can trust me. I'll provide for you. I know it's been a crazy time. I've died, and you haven't always known where I'm at, but I'm back, and I can still provide. Don't you remember the bread I've multiplied, the fish that I've multiplied, and I'll continue to do that for you. But do you love me enough to do what I've asked you to do? To me, that's a powerful story that just
cuts it right to the heart of how committed am I to the purpose of God for my life? How much do I trust Him to be my guide and my provider? Auditory examples. How did you learn your ABCs? The ABC song, right? Something you heard. You learned the alphabet. An auditory learner, not really motivated by the object or the illustration or the prize or reward, but an auditory learner motivated by praise, motivated by words of affirmation. Study buddies, peer groups, debates, playing the role of teacher. All things that you can do to help an auditory learner master the content that you have for him. All right, take your ears off. Let's go back to the next one. Well, the third one. We've looked at visual learning, auditory learning. Find your gloves and go ahead, put them on. Next. And hopefully they're the size that will work for everybody. We want to think about this third aspect of learning, and that is kinesthetic, just a fancy word for hands-on learning. And after you have your gloves on, go ahead and stand up. How many of you are really good at the days of creation? You know exactly what was created on which day. Okay, let's test a few of you out. What day were trees created? Hey, third, you guys are pretty good. Birds. Fifth. All right. What about which day were hippopotamuses created? Six. All right. How many of you are letting the people that know answer? Well, I want to build your confidence today in the days of creation through a hands-on learning activity. So I'm going to have a little saying that I will say to you, and then I want you to repeat it back to me. All right, so I'm going to give you a statement and some action to go with it. So make sure you can see me, and then I want you to repeat it back to me. Day one, God divided the light from the darkness. Now, just let me explain here. So day one becomes the L for light, and the lowercase d for darkness. All right, go ahead. Day one, God divided the light from the darkness. All right. Day two, God created the sky. So we've got the earth down here and space up here and the sky in between. So day two, God created the sky. Now let's review. Day one, God divided the light from the darkness. Day two, God created the sky. Okay. Day three, God created land, seas, and trees. Day three, God created land, seas, and trees. Day two, God created the sky. Day one, God created light and darkness. Actually, He didn't create the darkness. We'll say God divided the light from the darkness. All right, so here's day four. On day four, we have the sun, moon, stars, and planets, and they're all for lights above. All right, so day four, God created the sun, moon, stars, and planets for lights above. Day three, God created land, seas, and trees. Day two, God created the sky. Day one, God divided the light from the darkness. All right, so on day five, God created the birds that fly and the fish that dive. And keep palms open so you got day five represented. Okay, here we go. Day five, God created the birds that fly and the fish that dive. Day four, God created sun, moon, stars, and planets for lights above. Day three, God created land, seas, and trees. Day two, God created the sky. Day one, God divided the light from the darkness. Day six, God created the land animals and the first humans. See, they're all walking up to Adam to be named. All right. Day six, God created the land animals and the first humans. Day five, God created the birds that fly and the fish that dive. Day four, God created the sun, moon, stars, and planets for lights above. Day three, God created the seas and trees. Day two, God created the sky. Day one, God divided light from darkness. And what did God do on day seven? He rested. All right. Day seven, God rested. Day six, God created the land animals and the first humans. Day five, God created the birds that fly and the fish that dive. Day four, God created the sun, moon, stars, and planets for light above. Day three, God created land, seas, and trees. Day two, God created the sky. Day one, God divided the light from the darkness. There are the days of creation. Now you got it, right? Some of you are still the three, four, what did I do? Okay, maybe you're not a hands-on learner. I'll show you a picture of it next time, and then you'll know it. You can go ahead, sit down, take your gloves off. But again, all example, just a few more examples of how you can involve the hands, how you can use action to convey what you want to teach. This was seen pretty clearly to us at school the other year. We had a class that was about aviation. We had a patron that loved to fly and wanted to invest his money into training other pilots, and rather through do it through a large organization, he offered a couple scholarships at school. And so we got an instructor in who came into the classroom and talked all about planes. The students didn't like it that year. Going through the big flight instruction manual in a classroom was difficult. The next year, the instructor came back and said, how about we do the instruction at an airport and use the plane as our primary learning tool? And so the students began getting in the airplane and flying the airplane as they learned about the books. So that adding the hands-on component really made a difference, and both those students took the test with their flight instructor and passed. And the one day they went to class, I went to check on them. It was toward the beginning of the year. They said, hey, Mr. Weaver, you want to go up with us? We're going up flying today. And so I was like, yeah, I guess so. Quick called my wife. And that was a perk of being a school principal that year that was pretty neat. I went up, and once we got up, my students were flying the plane around. And it was a place where actually doing it made such a difference. Kinesthetic examples, riding a bike. Maybe it's a new experience. That's something that would motivate a hands-on learner, being able to do something different, try something new. You know, why do kindergarten classrooms have sandboxes? It's for the kinesthetic learner. Some eighth grade classes should have sandboxes too. Who needs directions if you're a kinesthetic learner? You just figure it out. You solve it. And that can be quite a motivation to them. So again, in conclusion, I think you can teach effectively when you consider these components: auditory, visual, and kinesthetic. Not all your students learn the same way. They all have a little different style. And if you expect them to learn in exactly the same way, you will have frustrated students, and you might even fail some students. So because we want to learn, because we learn differently, our teaching needs to reflect the variety of learning styles if we want maximum impact. So I encourage you to build these three concepts in, consider each lesson you prepare, and think about how you can incorporate hearing, seeing, and doing into each of your lessons. Now, not every lesson every day may have three in, but as you teach the same class week after week, try one, a different one each week, and notice the difference in your students and how they learn and how they pick up on what you are teaching them. Thank you very much. I'm going to close. If you have any questions, feel free to ask them. I think we have maybe 2 minutes left, 2 or 3 minutes. If you want to give a question now, I'd be glad to open it up for a few comments. Something you've learned about the variety of learning styles. We welcome you to share that, too. Always looking for more tips. Yes? Yes?
I'm a visual learner, but and I got 14 things right, but some of the questions you asked,
okay.
And so that, yes, as I'm teaching, I know that.
Yeah. Exactly. So while you might get the activity because of your learning strength, it still doesn't mean that it's something you're going to carry with you. You still may have students saying, that's not at all what I'm interested in.
So our job is to make it important.
Yeah.
I'm teaching fourth grade Bible school lesson that I thought was so familiar. They heard the story so often. They knew all the parts of it. I decided to make it a competition, the ones on this side of the table and the ones on this side of the table, and they loved the class.
Okay.
Like the questions, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just thought that kept their attention well.
You brought a little tension to to what was going on. Good. Okay. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask you as we close to do one thing that would be really helpful to me. The gloves probably became quite sweaty, and I believe there's a trash can at the back. If you could, on your way out, drop your gloves in the trash can, but let the glasses and the ears in your nail bag on the seat, that would be appreciated. Thank you very much. God bless your teaching, and have a great remaining time of reach.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.